What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Row Such a Glider podcast. Today, I have somebody who I've wanted to have on for a while, just never got around to asking him because I have way too many of my personal friends on here. But it's somebody whose podcast I've always liked. I always said it's one of the best edited, highest production quality, I'd say. It's a really good all around. I wish he'd come out with more episodes lately, but you know, we'll get into that with him. Today, I have from Behind the Bells, Mr. Robert. How are you, sir?
Merry Monday, or whichever day this is, but I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. I guess that's like breaking the fourth wall in podcasting. You never talk about the day you're recording, I guess. I don't know. But we are recording on a Monday evening. I believe, what is it? December 8th. So who knows? Maybe it'll even come out tonight if I can get it done quick enough, or tomorrow. We'll see. All right. How's everything, though, man? You good?
Everything is going great. I mean, I'm more than happy than anything because, well, we're in the Christmas season, and that just leads us with, well, 25 days of awesomeness. But for guys like us, I'm sure it's a lot more than 25 days, but an entire year of fun stuff. Yeah. We just reserve the best days for December.
No, we do. And I find when people love Christmas like we do, when it comes around, we get really sad. We're like, okay, we waited for this for so long. Now it's here. And now I'm sad that it's going to be ending. So it's trying to find that little, you know, that common ground where like, it's okay to like wish time away so Christmas could come. But then, you know, the more that time whisks away, like you're like, okay, Christmas is going to be done soon. And I'm going to be back in a January, February depression. That's me anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those things where even though I don't necessarily get as sad around January time, I certainly do get that bluesy kind of season knowing that we got to take out the lights, got to take out the ornaments, yeah, off just everything. And everything just seems so less colorful, which I guess is the ironic for myself because I live in Southern California. So I don't get that bleak winter scape that a lot of others get. But I still get that like feeling that something is just a little empty around that point.
Yeah, like you have nice weather for the most part, man, to be honest. But yeah, out here, January, February, March is very gray out here in Canada, north of Toronto. Lots of ice, lots of slush, lots of, we call it salt because, you know, we salt down the roads when it gets really icy, and then it's all over your car. You got to wash it, and it just looks almost like a white covered pit. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's not as gray out there, I would imagine. It's actually really beautiful weather out there for the most part, isn't it?
I mean, it can be. I mean, my wife and I actually just made it to Disneyland for the holiday season not too long ago. And even though it got to a high of like maybe 70, maybe 69 at the most, and it got chilly for us later on, it was still gorgeous weather. I mean, it wasn't even a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, let's get into it here. Let's just start off the bat how I normally do. Like, life growing up, was Christmas a big thing for you? Was it not? Because obviously you are where you are now in, you know, Christmas Podcast Network. What was Christmas like as a kid? Was it a big deal or did it become a big deal later in life? Like, what's the deal there?
Well, I'd say that Christmas had always been kind of a big deal for me. I mean, even my earliest memories happen to revolve around a lot of the holidays, considering that, number one, the first movie that I ever recall actually seeing in a movie theater and having vivid memories of was Home Alone, which I was only three when that one came out. But I still remember actually sitting in that theater as a kid with a big group of people. But more importantly, personally, Christmas time was always something that I really looked forward to because neither of my grandparents were really ever close to us. But you know, with the way my family had always done things for the holidays, my mom's side would always have a party on Christmas Eve, while my dad's side was always Christmas Day. And even though I know some people just dread the whole idea of travel around the holidays, that was something I really looked forward to as a kid because that really gave me a chance to just see my family that I rarely get to see. And then, of course, it was even weirder is that at around like 6, 7, 8 around that whole time span, that around that point where a lot of kids can really get into that point where they get into the whole, I want this, I want this, I want this for Christmas. And yet I was still that kind of kid that just loved to shop for my other younger cousins and my family. And I think in a weird way, that was where I really came to the idea that as much as I liked the idea of, you know, meeting Santa, I think even as a kid, I just really wanted to be Santa as well. And I just really love that, well, giving feeling that I can get and just seeing that look of joy that they get on their face.
So you mentioned wanting to be Santa. So let's kind of like branch off into like another little thing. Is that something you'd like to pursue? Whether it be through, because you're a clean shaven guy, would you love to be a fake bearded Santa? Is that something maybe that's in your future later in life?
Well, I guess even though right now I got a bit of a naked face right now, I think later on, I know that I've toyed with the idea of growing out a beard myself, and that's something I certainly have thought about doing. I mean, I've talked to a few other professional Santas as well, and well, I think right now I just feel like it's a little premature for myself to get into it at the time being. Doesn't help that my voice is a little higher pitched than a lot of other Santas. But I'd say that I may ask myself that same question at about maybe another decade, maybe two.
Okay, no, that would actually, I think you do well. And it's funny you mentioned your voice. I wanted to get into your podcast, and obviously we're going to talk about who got you into it, when you got into it. But I still do remember you coming on the Discord one day, and you were so offended because somebody had left a negative review, but you were more offended that they thought you were using an AI voice. Do you remember
I
that?
do actually. That was like the first negative review I've ever gotten, which in hindsight was only a 3-star review, which really isn't the worst thing. I mean, I've heard way worse from my old days with schooling, but in terms of podcasting, it can certainly sting a little bit knowing the work you put in, which is the nature of it. I just thought it was more confusing than anything that they accused my voice of being AI generated, which.
I would assume it was jealousy, to be honest, because when I first heard you, I'm like, this guy's got a great voice. I wonder if he puts it on. And like, first time, I think, I don't know if we did a podcast together, like the first time we actually met, like via Zoom or chat. I don't know if you put it on at all. Like, you kind of sound basically, you're more professional, I would say, but you kind of, that's your voice. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought it was AI. I just thought, like, okay, maybe he does this voice. And I'm like, that's his real voice, which I still think is really cool. That's not a negative.
I guess in a way, I could have done all my podcasts something like this. But of course, that just comes off as incredibly phony. And I think people would have seen through something like that. It does help, though, that I do have experience doing musical theater as far back as high school. So I've already been given that training to really project my voice. And in college, I ended up taking a course also on storytelling through radio, which at that point, even though podcasts were already becoming a thing, I haven't thought that far yet. But that was when I realized that I also like the idea of storytelling through audio, which is, of course, a lost art for a lot of people. But thankfully, podcast seems to have brought that back.
It did.
And
And
well,
honestly, when I listen to your podcast, I love the way you sound. And it's so funny. The way you tell stories is so everything about it. I've said this to you before, and it's like the biggest compliment I can give you. It's just so well produced and it's so well done, and it just feels cozy as hell. And I think if you're making a Christmas podcast, that's like a big positive to have, man. Like, everything about it is so good and it seems so professional. When I first heard you, I'm like, oh my God, like, does this guy have other podcasts? Does he do other stuff? Because it just seems so polished.
That's sweet of you to say. I know that back when I was getting ready to do a show like this, I knew I didn't want to do a lot of like what a lot of other guys do, which is just to turn on a microphone and essentially record my thoughts. In fact, you may or may not know this, but I actually script all of my episodes because
Oh
there have been
man.
a few times I actually have tried experimenting with just doing my own voice, just my own thoughts or so. It's just that half the time it just came out as just pure gibberish. And without having another podcaster to bounce off of, that format just was not going to work at all. In fact, I'd say the one episode of mine where if you really want to hear me totally unscripted was when I covered the Rugrats holiday specials, where even then I still had a whole thing of notes for me to refer to as a way for me to guide me throughout that episode. But even then, that was still like one of the most stressful episodes I ever did. And that's when I told myself that any episode that I was doing on my own, they all had to be scripted.
I think it's I think the way that it comes off, like, it doesn't feel super scripted, but it feels super informative. But like that, I've only really done one episode where I've ever just talked, and it was only for like 15 minutes just to kind of talk about Christmas, what it meant to me, some memories last year. And it's the same, I'm the same way. Like if I'm in a conversation, I could talk forever and it'll just be gibberish. And also like ADHD does not help. So I can branch off in many different areas. So it would just be a mess. But I'm gonna go back. I might have listened to it because I've listened to a lot of your episodes. Not recently though, which brings me to this. Like I didn't realize you haven't released a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where, like a lot of things, life has just kind of gotten in the way.
Yeah.
And of course, it doesn't help that now that I've been married back in 2023, and I've also been in the middle of getting my own digital marketing business going at the same time. I'm
Wow, yeah.
essentially wearing several hats, and the podcast to me is still incredibly important. But though I will also say though that it's not the only creative endeavor that I really want to get into, with one of the bigger ones being that, well, the reason I haven't scripted a lot of the episodes that I had beforehand is because I've also been trying to script some new novels that I actually would like to put out that are
Yeah.
also holiday based, some of them not holiday based. But it's one of
Yeah.
those things that whenever I see like my own episodes and there's just these large gaps, I really tell myself, I gotta get more episodes out. I gotta get more episodes out. And in fact, my next episode is actually going to be a part two from last year that I didn't get around to because I was having a hard time finding enough information to justify it into a second episode,
Yeah.
which I guess is something I should have thought about beforehand when I did it as a two-parter. But
Yeah.
luckily, that script is essentially mostly complete, and that one I definitely want to get out before Christmas this year.
I really hope you do. That'd be cool. Yeah, you were telling me just before we hopped on and started recording that you were kind of like working on some novels. Is there any little hints you can give us to like maybe just you said multiple, but like is there a main one you're focusing on? Like what can you say what it's about or does that give too much away?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you right now. Maybe not too much, but I'll tell you now that the title of it is called The Starlights, and that's Star Dash Lights, LITES, because I
Ah.
wanted to refer to it as a faux brand of Christmas lights that would have been put out during the atomic age of the 60s or so.
Oh my God. Okay.
And
I'm intrigued. That's really cool.
essentially, let's just say that Christmas lights play a big role in my story. But I'm also the story, I guess, without giving away too much, it essentially has hints of a Christmas carol with maybe a little bit of a Christmas story in there as
Yeah.
well. But I really wanted to tap into the more fantastic side of Christmas that I feel like we haven't really gotten enough of in today's age.
Yeah, I hear you. No, that sounds interesting. Anything from the 60s, really. Anything prior to the world we live in now is really interesting to me. Like, but
Well, I mean, especially considering that Christmas itself is a very nostalgic holiday as is, and which is why I think why the holidays tends to bring, well, both good and bad memories,
yeah.
considering
For sure.
just the family we've had or have and just
Yeah.
how we deal with it today.
I think Christmas is kind of, you're right. It's nostalgic. And the more I think about when I'm having Christmas, I'm like, oh, it's not like the good old days. I think even people in the 60s and 50s used to say that because I think Christmas is a feeling for younger people. It is for older people, but there's different responsibilities. When you're young, there's so much magic. And I feel like I'm forever trying to recreate it, but sometimes it just feels forced, and the best Christmas memories are organic, right? And they're
Exactly.
nostalgic. You can never get them back. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I mean it's I mean even my book kind of touches upon the idea that no matter how hard we try to recreate certain feelings, you really can't get them back. And the best way moving forward is to just try to craft new memories, which
Yeah.
thankfully now that I've been now that I'm married, it does at least allow me to really give that a chance.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I was gonna talk about that next. Speaking of making new memories, I told you this at the Christmas party for our podcasters. We did it via Zoom. I still remember when you and your girlfriend were just the germ of a first date, and I remember you would kind of keep us posted on the new dates. And I remember it was the sweetest thing. I just remember it so vividly because I was happy for you because I always thought you were like the nicest guy. I always say he came on, you came on, you're here with me. Robert came on and he decided to just tell us like, oh yeah, the date went great. This person was fantastic. And because you'd built it up a bit, like you said, I have a first date with somebody that I met, and you're like, yeah, and even shared some smooches. And I was like, man, I love this guy. He just used the word smooches. And we got a couple updates after that. And fast forward a couple years, now you're married. Like, how's that going for you?
Been great. It's been fantastic. Because if anything, things have only gotten better because that has just really proven to us just how great my wife and I just have really been as compatible people. Because I think a lot of people that have been searching for love or so, it's one of those things where, mean, it's a crowded ocean as is, and for a guy that really wasn't that focused on doing a lot of dating within his 20s or so, it wasn't until I started hitting my 30s that I started feeling a little lonely. And that's when I thought, okay, I think I'm going to probably put myself out there to date a little bit more. And of course, I did the whole thing of getting an eHarmony account and starting to chat with more people. Now, the problem with that, the year I decided to do that was 2020.
Oh, geez. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, which of course that of course roadblocked a lot of things, and wasn't until 2021 where after trying a couple different dates with a few women that of course were nice, but I just wasn't getting that well click feeling that I would
Yeah.
usually get, which I think for a while I even thought for sure that since I hadn't felt that same feeling since maybe high school, I thought, am I gonna get that same feeling back? But the first time the two of us met, we essentially had sat in front of a Jamba Juice and we were essentially chatting, which what ended up going on for nearly over 4 hours, even though it was nearly 100 degrees outside.
Wow.
Not that any of us really cared. And then by about a month, the two of us had to officially become an item at that point, where the two of us were just, of course, dating, going to different, trying out different things. And of course, it really helped that she too happens to be a major Christmas person. So when it came to the holidays, it was fun to really start sharing what the two of us did for each Christmas and sort of figuring out how to combine certain traditions and bring it in certain traditions. And so far, I think we've done pretty well. I mean, there's still a lot of things that we still haven't quite figured out, but
Yeah.
maybe we'll figure it out, or maybe once we're 80, we'll never figure it out.
I can imagine with two Christmas lovers, there's got to be some kind of headbutting that goes on, whether it be traditions or the way they like certain ornaments or decorations. Did you ever butt heads in that sense where it's like, oh, I kind of like it this way, but if you want it that way, was it more of just like a meshing and a blending? Kind of like a big compromise with some things, or was it kind of just like, did everything mold in perfectly?
There was a little bit of meshing. It just so it does help that the two of us also happen to be old souls who really
Yeah.
like a lot of the way Christmases should be. I mean, my wife is a really big fan of the mid-century modern style Christmas,
Awesome.
which
Yeah.
I still think looks pretty. I just don't like the silver aluminum trees, which to me goes a
Yeah.
little too kitsch, even though
Yes,
it's
yes.
something I at least appreciate.
Yeah.
But the two of us at least come to the agreement that we must get a real tree, even though I do keep a spare faux tree in
Yeah.
storage just in case something were to happen to it or so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the two of us have very similar tastes in music. So, like for example, each 20th in Southern California, we both go to a fantastic Christmas concert, which is just a giant orchestra and a big choir that just plays a
Awesome.
lot of great songs and
Yeah.
sometimes even some of the modern songs as well.
Honestly, I was talking to Jerry about this the other day. I still find that like choir Christmas music is still some of my favorite. It just hits you differently, I find. You know what I mean? Do you feel the same way?
Oh, I think it really, in a weird way, I think this is more or less tapping into more of my spiritual side. But I think in a way, it really brings me to another level. Like I'm sort of transcending beyond my human body, and I'm really getting this idea that I'm free floating as a part of the universe,
Yeah.
and maybe just with that music, that's just the closest way I can, well, touch the hand of God.
Yeah. So you are a religious person then, right?
Yep. Even though I didn't become a little religious up until, I mean, even though I was maybe a little bit in my high school days, dropped off at a point and came back on around my 20s.
Yeah.
And then, of course, with my wife being a Christian herself, the two of us have actually been a part of a big year-long project this year, especially to do a rereading of the Bible so that
Oh,
we could
cool.
start looking through our favorite passages, our favorite
Yeah.
verses, and just getting our own general thoughts and views down.
Yeah,
And it's
it's
something that that I also had decided that even though I am a spiritual person, I didn't want my podcast to be like too heavy on the spiritual side of things, but
Yeah.
primarily because I know that my show gets listened to by a lot of film fans. And it's one of those things where there's a fine line between how much of myself do I really bring into my show versus given exactly what my audience would like.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's funny, growing up, I was religious. And then I was one of those people too. Like, as I got older, I kind of went away from it. It was my, I still like, I'm finding now where like I'm not super religious, but as I'm aging now and kind of just understanding a little bit more about life, like, I feel like maybe I need to reconnect with that side of myself just because there's certain things that go on in your life. And like, you're not alone in it, but like, sometimes I feel like faith just kind of, no matter what you believe in or how what you believe it is, I think faith is always something that can be relied upon to be something to help you feel either less lonely or like more understood, or just have to have something to look forward to, where like just something more to believe in. Because I don't know what happens. I don't even think that, you know, believing in religion is like, oh, I'm going to go to this place or that place. I think it's just having like a belief in something more powerful, which is like, I think it's interesting, and I need to connect with it. 'Cause when I was young, for Christmas, I would ask for like Last Supper or little white statues. I had one I used to keep on top of like one of my shelves, and I loved it so much. Like, I really, really did. And I don't, you know, I lost a few people, and then you kind of have that existential crisis where you're like, well, like, if this does exist, why does this happen to these people? And I didn't stick around to hear the answer to some of it. Like, not saying there is an answer, but just to talk about it and kind of get like differing, varying like opinions on it, right? So yeah, like, I used to be like, I don't need religion, and now as I get older, maybe I'm one of those cowards. As they get older, they realize time's running out. It's like, man, I really, maybe there is something going on after this. I really hope there is. You know what I mean?
Well, my advice to you, specifically, especially as someone that's sort of maybe jumping back into the shallow end of the pool to really get an idea of what you want to believe in. But the best advice I can give you is to do your own research and to always go with what feels right,
Yeah.
regardless of how people are going to think.
No,
Because
I
after
appreciate
all,
that.
this is yourself that that you really want to get a better understanding of you, your place in the universe, or connection to God, and just specifically just who we are.
Yeah.
And again, I always find that going with your gut instinct is going to be the best bet.
Yeah. I think that's the same thing. Like, not sure what I, you know, grew up like going to Catholic school. I don't know if it'd be Catholic, but you're right. I need to like kind of research it and go with my gut. Like, I really appreciate that. Moving on to less religious stuff, because we probably had a bunch of people that got into that and then some people that totally turned it off, but we do not care.
Please come back.
Yeah. No, but you seem to be like a Disney guy. You talked about it before. You seem to be at Disneyland a lot. So is that something you grew up with, or is it something you started doing later on in life?
Well, but it's something that I actually did a lot as a kid. At around 98 or so, my family had gotten our first ever annual passports, so that essentially allowed us to go a lot more.
Yeah.
And I essentially kept up with it as long as I could because, along with the fact that I just really love the atmosphere that the park creates, I also just really appreciated the history that went into this because of how much I really feel like people just don't appreciate just how much of a game changer Disneyland really was to the whole amusement enterprise in general. And of course, back in 2008, I actually took the plunge and I actually became a cast member for a little while.
Oh, really?
So, yep, back in 2008, I actually worked attractions.
Really? What did you do there?
Well, my first assignment actually took me over to the Winnie the Pooh ride that's over in the well Critter Country area where Splash Mountain used to be, which itself was a fine ride. It was always fun to see all these families with their little kids come in, wanting to experience the 100-acre woods. And then, of course, part of the problem though was that because of my height, I'm about 6 foot four,
Oh,
And I
wow.
happen to be the and I happen to be the Shore brother, by the way.
Wow.
They actually moved me over to the Haunted Mansion because they felt bad that at certain ride consoles I had to hunch over, while with the Haunted Mansion I don't.
Yeah.
And I was there for a little bit, and unfortunately, I never worked that well long enough to do the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay. Because
Yeah.
around that time, I transferred again, this time to the railroad that went around the park, which
Wow.
was actually my favorite because we weren't bound by one land. We were able to work all the various depots all over the park. And that essentially gave us a little more of a variety. So that way I'm not stuck in one area throughout the entire thing. But overall, as much fun as I had, I just wasn't as interested in climbing up the corporate ladder. So around the time next year, I essentially stepped down from Disney and decided to focus more on my schooling at that point.
Yeah. That's really that's interesting. I hadn't, you might have mentioned that before in the Discord, but I forgot. But asking that question, I did not know that. That's really, really cool. So obviously now that you're older, I see that you and your wife go there a lot. Do you have a favorite attraction now?
Well, I guess you could say I've got two. When it comes to the overall e-tickets, like the big ones or so, I've always been a big fan of Indiana Jones, which
Okay.
was, of course, a favorite as a kid and a favorite now. But my favorite overall attraction probably has to be the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I love the atmosphere of that one. And of course, I actually did a whole episode this year where I covered the Haunted Mansion and its various movie adaptations.
Yeah, that was your last episode, right? Or the one that you just came out with more recently, or no? Because I was scrolling through your podcast today.
So for actually for Halloween, I managed to get out an episode that was a tribute to Ray Bradbury's The Halloween
Okay.
Tree, and I
Yeah.
covered that whole special from 1993.
Okay, wow.
And one of the reasons I covered the Haunted Mansion was because my episode before that was my part one on Frosty the Snowman, and of course one of the big names in the Haunted Mansion is Paul Frees, who's the
Yeah.
narrator of the ride, and of course he himself was in the Frosty the Snowman special as a variety of characters.
Yeah,
So I was
you.
trying to use that little connection to string my episodes together, so it just wasn't a random hodgepodge of episodes.
That was one of my favorite episodes, by the way. I love
Well,
that
thank
one.
you.
Yeah. So you talked about Haunted Mansion. Obviously, I know you're a movie guy. So I wanted to ask you this question. It's kind of putting you on the spot, but let's talk first like regular movies. I want to get a taste of like what you like. Can you give me a quick top five movies of all time, regular movies, and then we'll do Christmas. But what are your top five? Like, what is Robert like? What is number five to one? Like, what is he like?
Okay, so now that you asked that, I will say the number five is a Christmas movie, which happens to be It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh gosh.
But there's more. Okay, but the, and that's the and I promise that's the one holiday movie on my regular list.
Yeah.
Number four happens to be Tim Burton's Ed Wood because I just love the atmosphere on that one. I love how that one is really encouraging people to get into the arts, especially filmmaking, even though
Yeah.
ironically it's about a guy who really can't make movies.
Yeah.
Number three, of course, is a Disney movie, and it happens to be Disney's Fantasia.
Okay.
Yeah, love the art, love the spectacle, and just love the combination and how much the animation could really be seen as an art form, even though it's often not utilized enough. And of course, and even though we did get a sequel, Fantasia 2000, which still think was great, I'm still going to keep pushing for a Fantasia 3 at Disney at some point.
Nice. All right. What's two?
Okay, number two, and even though this is kind of a cheat because it's three movies, the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
Wanna
and of course, I
know
mean
a
the
secret?
original.
I've
Oh,
never
what?
seen them.
Really?
Yeah, and I've been meaning to like for the I want to sit down and actually really enjoy them, but yeah, I've never seen them. Crazy, right?
It is crazy. I mean, I will admit to you though that the first time I saw them was not in theaters, but at a friend's house when we were
Really?
just staying over one Saturday. Popped on all the VHS tapes back when that was our only option, and of course,
Yeah.
we had a great time with those. And whenever they do rescreenings of the movies in theaters, I am always down to see those.
I can imagine. I do love when they do reshow like older movies in the theater. You kind of get a feeling that you didn't have before, especially if they were out before you were born or if you just never got a chance to see them.
All right. And then, of course, my number one movie, the one that I consider, like, at least for me, my favorite, is Back to the Future.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. And you know, main character is a Canadian actor, Michael J. Fox. No, that is a fantastic film.
And of course, I have no clue what all that says, all those movies say about me, other than obviously I tend to really like stories about ordinary people put into extraordinary situations, with the exception of Fantasia. That's just more of a artsy showcase. But I also clearly happen to love a lot of older movies. I mean, even the Lord of the Rings, but I used to say it was more recent, but then I have to remind myself that the Rings movies came out over 2 decades ago, which
Oh
makes me
gosh.
sad.
Yeah, that ages us really. Are we the same age or are you a little older? I mean, I'm born in 85.
Okay, 87. So I'm just 2 years younger than you are.
Okay, yeah. So you're yeah. I'll be from this recording, I think what next a week today, I will be 40. So I'm getting up there, man. I'm getting up there.
You know, with the podcast, you could just make up your age. You don't have to reveal
I'm 29, okay? No. So what are
it.
your top five Christmas movies then?
Okay, so some of my top five. The funny thing is, even though It's a Wonderful Life was up there as a favorite, it's actually not my favorite movie. It actually ranks a little lower. But I'd say my top five. Five happens to be Miracle on 34th Street, and that's the original one.
Original, yeah. That's a good one. I can't hate that.
Number four happens to be Holiday Inn.
Okay.
Even though I do have a soft spot for White Christmas, even though I do think Holiday Inn is the better movie of the bunch.
Yeah.
Number three happens to be It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay. One of my
All
most
right.
disliked Christmas movies, by the way.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Then number two, oh, what was that one? Because I actually had a whole podcast episode where I went into that or so. Okay, so weirdly enough, I actually think my second favorite Christmas movie may be Ernest Saves Christmas.
It's so underrated, and I love that you said that. It's good. It's really good.
I know that we can't be the only ones to really like this movie, considering that. A little fun fact for you: those Ernest Saves Christmas episodes that I put up there are actually some of my most downloaded episodes in my show.
Because
And again,
other people
I
obviously
don't
love it too.
know if, yeah, and plus like my show, or what I say on my show, there's always a lot of interesting things to go about, considering that that was one of the very first movies they ever shot on Walt Disney World property.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and but overall, even though it has that whole Florida setting, it's a movie that still gets me into the Christmas feels each time I watch it.
Yeah, there is something about it that is oddly like it's not like your traditional like Christmas movie, but it kind of it there's something about it that makes you feel good, whether it's because you remember it when you were young. I think that's more like it for me. I remember I used to like watch it with like some of my older relatives, and that's what makes it happy, but it's just like a fun movie.
Exactly. And I do get whatever people whenever I bring that up to others, and they're like, "Are you serious? The movie's really stupid." And I'm like, "Yeah, isn't that great?"
Yeah. It doesn't always have to be a classic, you know what I mean? It can be a classic for different reasons, but it doesn't have to be this completely riveting film experience, you know what I mean? Some things can be stupid and you can still love it.
Oh yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of classics, though, want to know what my number one Christmas movie is?
What is it?
It happens to be Home Alone.
Okay, well, that's obviously like that could be a world-renowned, like unanimous number one, because I think it might be mine. It's close, but why is it Home Alone? What do you love about it? And do you think Home Alone one or two was better?
Well, first of all, I'd say that as a kid, I used to watch the second one more, but as I got older, I've really come to appreciate just how much better the first one is, considering
Okay.
that even though because I know the filmmaker and Macaulay Culkin have gone on to say that they usually just see the second movie as nothing more than a copy of the first, I
Yeah.
still feel that there are good things about the second one. Now, as for the first movie and why I consider it my favorite, there are some nostalgic ties to it, as that is the first movie I do recall seeing in theaters. And keep in mind, I was three, but I still have very, very like vague like little memories of actually sitting in that theater and seeing it.
Yeah.
And of
Yeah.
course, now on its own itself, I still consider it a great movie because it's a great example of a good coming of age story, considering that this kid who thought he would have been better off than everybody is, of course, now by himself, and yet manages to fend off all these bandits from his house. And like a little detail that people usually don't notice until they've seen it a couple of times is that from the beginning of the movie, for a while, the whole thing is shot like looking down on Kevin as if he's a little boy most of the time. But by the time we actually get to the end, the camera is actually at Kevin's level, sort of giving us the indication that he has grown. And on top of that, what?
I just wanted to say something, and all the years I've watched that, I have not known that.
Yep.
So thank you for that.
Then on top of that, the movie also just screams Christmas, especially because director Chris Columbus went as far as wanting to include the colors green and red in every single shot. And when I watched that movie, I actually get that test. I mean, there is not a single shot without either of those colors, which
Really?
really gives it a much more like Christmassy feel to the whole thing, even if it's not trying to be Christmas. I mean, even in a scene like where Kevin is just walking home with those groceries and the bags just collapse open or so, there's still a little bit of red on his outfit.
That's hilarious. Like, I think about that and I'm just like so blown away sometimes. Because Hallmark does that a lot. Like, if you've ever watched Hallmark movies, no matter what the scene is, they'll have either like a little piece of garland or something I feel like is always in the background that represents Christmas. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's more of an example of Christmas vomit, which now I'll make this clear. I'm not necessarily saying a lot of bad things about Hallmark movies. It's just that I feel like that there really isn't like a proper flow to finding that fine line of how something should look versus what is going to probably be in some sort of sequence that probably should call for something like that. And Home Alone, I feel like, does that better than a lot of other movies. Like, for example, if you were to watch like another major, let's say we'll include that Danny DeVito movie, Deck the Halls, which tries to include a bunch of holiday stuff in almost every single shot. But the movie just doesn't have the, of course, even though I don't think it's a good movie at all, but it also just doesn't have the same soul that Home Alone does, where I feel like that one actually had a voice that it was telling,
I kind
which
of
you can also.
agree with you. Sorry.
Yeah, and you can also really thank writer John Hughes for that, who really knew how to write a kid character that could have been either extremely annoying or just unrealistic. Like we've seen a lot of movies that it's clear that a 50-year-old guy is trying to write what a 10-year-old thinks.
Well, kudos to also like Macaulay Culkin. He did really well with that. And what you're saying about Deck the Halls is funny. When I watch it too, like I'll watch it like once or maybe twice a year. It's not the greatest movie, but like you said, like there's no soul to it really. I just feel like it's just this production of Christmas crap, and like I'm just like some of it like is really good, and then some of it just misses the mark so high. And like I don't know if it's the acting. Like I love Danny DeVito, but I still call him Ferris Bueller, but like I don't know if he just doesn't have the heart for it. Like maybe if they casted somebody else, it could have been a bit better. But I just felt like he was so rigid in that. I felt like he was so rigid in that role, or maybe that's how he's supposed to be, but it just did not come off well.
Oh yeah, I mean that's an example of a story that doesn't even know if its main character is even supposed to be that likable of a guy or so. I mean, with something like Home Alone, where Kevin, yeah, of course, he's not happy that all these people are in his house, and to quote him, "When I grow up and get married, I'm living alone." And which, of course, he gets that chance, and even though we do understand that anger, especially the whole scene in the kitchen where everything just goes wrong, and of course, you
That's
get the
it. Like,
whole say
I
goodnight,
think as
Kevin.
kid,
Goodnight, Kevin.
as kids, we always wanted to be Kevin. Like we never really wanted that to happen, but if it did, we wanted to have the belief that we could take down some muggers or whatever. But it's the funniest parts. Like I was a bit of an evil kid at times. Like the part when Kevin is like, "I hope I don't see you guys again for the rest of my life." Like that's like something we would all say when we were being a bratty kid, and I still love it.
Oh,
They
yeah.
did so good with it, the writing and everything. We're kind of winding down now. I have a couple more questions that I normally ask, but I used to do this on my other podcast. I'm gonna do it with you because maybe you got a good story, maybe you don't. You don't have to. But what is the like? I know getting gifts is, I know we cherish it. It's a good thing. But what's the worst gift you ever received? Have you ever looked at a gift and said like, "What in the world is this?"
Okay, so I actually do have another story with that. So, okay, when I was around, I think it was around the sixth grade. So, I don't remember how old I was, but of course, that was a year when I really wanted to get some more Harry Potter books because I was a big book reader as a kid. And I mean, even to this day, books are usually on my wish list whenever anybody's looking for a gift idea or so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my grandparents went out of their way, and they usually were pretty good gift givers. And at that point, I'd rather say it around that point, they stopped putting in the effort for some reason. I think it was just more than just getting older and getting tired. And in hindsight, I really should have been more considerate of that. And then, of course, when they got me, well, they said they got me some books. For some reason, I didn't get the books Christmas morning or so, which I guess that was the greedy little brat at that point
Yeah.
where I just really wanted the books that bad. And then my grandparents said they got me those books, Harry Potter books, and yet I opened them and they were actually the Little House on the Prairie books. And I thought,
Wow.
of course, I really had no clue how to react to that because I didn't want to be that mean kid, but
Yeah.
the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "What's this?" And they were like, "The books you wanted." I'm like, I asked for Harry Potter. I mean, and even as I said that, I felt bad at that point
Yeah.
that they got me the wrong books, which, of course, I'm sure my wife is going to be listening to this and she's going to give me the business later because she loved those books as a kid herself,
Hey, I'm a big
which I
Little
will
House on the
acknowledge.
Prairie fan.
But otherwise, I'd say that even though I can't really necessarily say I got like a really awful gift or so, but let's just say that that was extremely disappointing
Yeah.
to just not get that, which I don't know if it was because the books were just in such high demand they just weren't available,
Yeah.
whatever. But I just didn't get it, and that was just kind of a disappointing. Even though, of course, now I really need to just tell myself, you still got presents, Robert. Quit being a brat.
Yeah. Well, we're kids. We don't know any better. Now, on the flip side, have you ever given a gift where in hindsight you look back and you're like, that was really awful? Like, why did I give that gift?
Well, but I'd say that in that aspect. Okay, so at around that point, back in high school, I was a part of my student Christian organization called Student Adventure, and we
Yeah.
always did our own little gift exchange thing that we were all given Secret Santa like assignments for or so. And well, I think that I don't know if this is necessarily a bad gift, but this is a situation where I was doing a ton of wrapping and somehow a gift from my brother got swapped in there. So I ended up taking his present into that pile, which at that point, I didn't know yet. I wouldn't know that until the gift was open. And of course, the person I got was actually the son of the pastor. And he was, of course, very clean cut, nice guy, but just if anything was like above the PG rating or so, he did not want to watch it. Thus,
Yeah.
he opens the gift and it is Jackass the movie, the DVD. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh man.
And
Yeah.
then the horror went through my head as I started to wonder, okay, they're going to kick me out of the group. They're never going to want to speak to me again. And on top of that, do I ask for it back because that was actually a gift from my brother? And at that point, I still don't remember exactly what happened,
You don't
but
remember
apparently,
if you gave it back?
I think I was just so much in a state of shock that I sort of just blacked out at that point. All I
Yeah.
remember was that guy handing me that movie back once I explained to him. And of course, that just became a reoccurring joke was the year I decided to give somebody a copy of Jackass right there. And
It's like
it
one of
didn't
those
help
traumatic
that.
memories you try to suppress.
Yeah. And on top of that, because we were announcing those things, I do remember everybody asking, "Hey, what'd you get?" I got Jackass the movie, which also outed me as a member who went to go see R-rated movies. And
Yeah. I mean, Jackass was fantastic. Come on.
It
Wasn't it?
is. I mean, that's something I've almost debated about covering in my show because there actually is a lot of fun history involving the holiday and the material that they've done.
I would love, I that would be amazing. I grew up a Jackass kid, a Viva La Bam kid, a CKY kid. Like, I loved all those guys. So I would have loved that gift, but I also wasn't in like a church group. So,
You call that just an embarrassing gift scenario
no,
that's
that's a great
still
story. That
I
is
mean,
a
I cringe
fantastic
at it,
story.
but at least I do laugh a little bit at it now.
Yeah. So just two more questions left. Sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't. I let you spin the wheel on me. I let somebody think of a question they can ask me. It could be Christmas related. It could be anything related. Anything you want to ask, I will answer and not shy away from. Go for it. I'm putting you on the spot. I know that.
Okay. I gotta know. I mean, you may even know the answer to this, but what is a Christmas movie that everybody loves that you hate?
Well, obviously, a lot of people love It's a Wonderful Life. I don't like it. I find it depressing. But I'm trying to think of a different one because I've been on record for that. Everybody loves, but I hate. Oh, geez. You know what? That's a tough one. It's not okay. I don't hate it. I don't think it's as good as everybody makes it out to be. I think Elf kind of sucks.
Really?
Am I crazy? Okay, so maybe it's not that I think it sucks. I don't think it's as good as people putting in their top five, but that's just personal, right? I just never, it's in my Christmas canon, but I've just never liked it as much as everybody else. You know what I mean? And I don't.
I mean, do you think it's because of the tone, or are you just not a fan of the overall humor of the movie?
I just find it to be like a little ridiculous. Like I can't put my finger on it. Like it does have those like as the, you know, Tis the Podcast would put it, the Linus moments. I just don't know why. When I watch it, I enjoy it for the most part, but I kind of think it's kind of silly. But like it's not supposed to be good, but I don't know. Something about Will Ferrell at that time rubbed me the wrong way, and I think that's really what it is. And then I began to love Will Ferrell. There's a movie. Okay, so there is a movie that isn't really a Christmas movie, but I thought it was like a lot better than people give it credit for, is Daddy's Home 2. Like I don't know what it is. I enjoy watching that. I don't, have you ever seen it?
I'm not the biggest fan of that movie. I mean, I like it a lot more than the first Daddy's Home, which
Yeah, me too.
I
I
feel like
think
good. I mean, I just feel like that at least for me, the first movie could have been summed up with Will Ferrell just not having the guts to tell this guy, get out of my house. But
yeah,
the
pretty
second
much.
movie at least feels a little more relatable, considering that these two guys and their dads coming together to get it all together.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just more that I'm not a fan of the a lot of the pratfall jokes they try to do to try to
Yeah.
replicate the national Christmas thing.
Yeah.
But whenever when they're not doing that and they're just doing their own random like jokes, like the house heater scene where all guys are getting up and they're
Yeah.
wondering why is it so hot? And
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg's daughter is the one who's turned it all up and she's got the window open too. So.
Yeah. I think I like it a lot just because I'm a really big John Lithgow fan. I just have loved him forever. I just think he's fantastic. But yeah, like I think like if my main one would be, a lot of people love it. I just don't like It's a Wonderful Life. It just kind of, I find it a little depressing. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I
I
mean,
don't want to watch it
I know
at
my
Christmas
wife.
and feel depressed.
I know my wife is on a similar manner where she says the movie gives her more anxiety than anything,
Thank
and
you. Yes. There's like suicidal
which,
ideation, things like that. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, and then
well, especially knowing that that if you
storekeeper
don't have the
slaps the kid.
$8,000 to come up with, then you're going to be thrown in jail, even though,
Yeah, that is
again,
very anxious inducing.
yeah, and I mean, for me, I still look at that movie like an episode of the Twilight Zone, just an
Yeah.
extended feature-length Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see
And even though
that.
I still feel like the movie has that good lesson of even if life doesn't turn out the way you wanted it, there are still more pros than cons to life itself.
Yeah,
And
that's true.
yeah, and
The
plus,
bigger meaning, right?
yeah, and on top of that, a while ago, I'd even written a short story that would have. given the Mr. Potter character more of a backstory and kind of a sequel-esque of where everything goes with him. And that's something I would love to eventually expand into a full story if I can get the rights, or at least be okay from Paramount to do it.
That would be really cool. That's actually, see, that interests me. And make it less depressing. But
Now,
yeah.
I will say too that a movie that I'm not the biggest fan of, but I know a lot of people love is A Christmas Story. And
Oh gosh, that's my one of my favorites.
it's one of those movies that I think isn't necessarily a thing where I see it as bad. I just saw the movie at the wrong time. Because I think
Okay.
I saw the movie for the first time at around 2005, 2006, when it was in this huge like moment where everybody was going on saying it's the single greatest thing ever. They were doing all those marketing toys and t-shirts for that. And I think I just got to that point where I just didn't want to get on that bandwagon of saying that this movie is great because everybody else was saying it was great.
Yeah.
And over the years, I have come to also appreciate that one because it's one of the few movies that I feel like successfully recreates that Norman Rockwell style with
Okay, yeah,
something.
I can get behind that. But like you said, like I never say to people like, "Oh, it's the most amazing movie." It's just something I grew up with. It's nostalgic and I love it. I don't think it's amazing by any means as far as like a movie goes, but you know what I mean? Like it's good enough for what it is. Like
Oh yeah.
it's funny, I was on Kristen's podcast with Jerry a couple days ago, and one of her things that we had the whole theme was to do five nice things, like a nice list and a naughty list. And on her naughty list was Christmas Story. She does not enjoy it that much either.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way because I do run into people like, oh, you like that? Most people don't know what it is, and you have to say, yeah, where the kid sticks his tongue to like a metal pole. They're like, oh, that one, or the kid that wants a Red Ryder BB gun. They don't know it. They just know that it was on the Superstation 24/7 forever. Like, you know what I mean?
Which I think that was something else that just annoyed me that it just got all this playtime on TBS when I feel like that room could have been cleared out for a whole bunch of other Christmas movies to at least go with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
because personally, my book, if I had to watch a movie on 24-hour repeat, I'd rather watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation on 24-hour repeat.
yeah, I can see that. I love that one too. I only started liking that one about 15 years ago, which is like I'd always like watch it before, but I was always like, eh, whatever. But then like as I got older, I related more with Clark. So it's like, okay, you know what I mean? It's not that bad. But yeah. Last question. I always kind of top it off with the last question, kind of give it a feel good memory. What's your favorite Christmas memory ever, whether it be growing up or as an adult? Like when you think back, the first thought that comes in your mind, what's the best memory you have?
Okay, that would actually come from the Christmas I had back in 1995 when I was 8 years old. We had already had a really fun Christmas Eve party with my mom's side of the family. Christmas morning, we wake up, and of course I immediately opened up and got the two presents that I really wanted. Just one being a genuine pogo stick, and I used to hop on that thing all the time.
Pogo stick.
And
We're
the
you're
other,
aging yourself.
I know. And then if you want to, I'm about to age myself further because I got the other gift, which was a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Megazord thing.
Oh man, you're lucky. That was the year then, yeah, because I was 10, and that's when they came out with the morphers and the guns that they had, and also a couple other things, right? The head flipping ones. You remember those?
I do
Like where.
actually.
Man, those were my favorite gifts I probably ever got ever too. 95 was a really good year.
And there's also more to that too, because even after Christmas morning and everything was just in such high spirits, we then got in the car, drove to my grandparents' house, and they used to live near the sea, and thus it was always tradition for us to walk over to the coast and watch the sunset, which
Yeah.
was in a little way kind of sad for me because this is my moment of thinking, no, the Christmas sun is going down.
Yeah, it's over.
And yet, it was also that year that, well, my family told me that Santa Claus was going to be coming that day. And of course, us and the other kids gather around in the living room. And of course, Santa Claus comes to the room, which I immediately recognized it was my grandpa that was doing that, but
Yeah.
of course I was not going to be that brat. I was still excited just because I saw Santa in general, and and even then that just really gave me my glimpse of maybe that was what th this is why I really enjoy Christmas, because maybe I just get it from my family, who themselves love Christmas. I just happen to love Christmas a little more, and hence why I did a whole podcast to do so.
Yeah, no, that's really good, man. You've been one of the easiest guests to interview. I don't know if it's because of the history you have, but like this was really easy. It was fun, man. Holy crap. Thank you so much.
Glad to know that I was easy.
Yeah, well, not
I
that
mean,
easy. Yeah,
did what? Did somebody just confront you multiple times on whenever you challenged them with a question or so?
no, not really. Sometimes, like, you'll ask a question and you'll expect them to kind of like expand a bit more, but then they'll just kind of give you like a one sentence and it's like, okay. It's like, then you have to move on. But like, you're really in depth with it, man. Like, you're a detail oriented guy. So like, when I ask you a question, you kind of bounce off it really well. You know what you're doing. How about that? Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I guess I could have gone back and done the whole fair Christmas memory, 1985.
That would have worked in your real voice, right? But no, yeah. So I was at the end, like, I let people plug their thing, man. Where can everybody find you?
Okay, well, you can find the Behind the Bells podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, you can go to YouTube as well, where my show is. And you can also go to my website at behindthebells.com. I am lucky that I actually got that name as my website.
I
But
can't, yeah. That's pretty
otherwise, I
interesting.
try to get out 2 episodes a month, even though it's been a little while. But I do promise that more episodes are coming, especially once I get my next episode, which is going to be Frosty the Snowman Part 2, which I do
Wonderful.
advise you to listen to because that's going to cover the animation side of things, how this became Jimmy Durante's final role, how Jackie Vernon eventually got roped into doing this as well, and how that all came together to essentially create what I kind of like to refer to as the Luigi of Christmas specials. Because in a way, if Santa Claus was the Super Mario of Christmas icons, then I feel like Frosty the Snowman is the Luigi icon.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm really looking forward to that because I remember the other one and it was fantastic. I'm also a sucker for all the old style, claymation, whatever it was back in the day.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's one thing me and Jerry also talked about the other day. I miss when I do love that how easy streaming is, how readily available everything is, but there was just something about being like, okay, it's on at this time, 8 o'clock. It's like be there, be square. It felt like an event. You know what I mean?
Oh,
It's like why I
yeah.
love going to the theater. Like it's one thing to stream something at your house, but I like the theater experience. I like sitting there, I like the popcorn. I like knowing that it was a special event that you would just go watch and then you couldn't see it after, unless, I mean, you could have had the DVDs back then, but when you were young, did they have VHS versions of that? They probably did, but I never had it.
Well, I know that back when we grew up, whenever a movie would come out in theaters, even though there was still a theatrical window, it would almost take a year, sometimes even longer, for
Oh,
it to
yeah.
come out on a home video. And of course, those that are still getting DVDs can now usually get them like 3 months afterwards or stream it
Yeah.
afterwards, which
Yeah.
of course is one of the reasons why a lot of theaters are having a hard time getting people in, which is just simply for the fact of, well, if it's something that looks good but not great, I'll just wait for it to come out on streaming. And
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just such a big theatrical guy myself that I usually try to catch as much as I can on the big screen, assuming that I'm open to seeing a movie. But it did pain me that, that as of this year, I'm not seeing any like major Christmas movies in theaters. With I think the only one that we're set to get is the another remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Really? Yeah, like this year, I haven't been paying attention to those. There hasn't been many, but one of the more underrated ones, I guess it's not even like a Christmas movie, but I really like The Holdovers. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, I love the Holdovers. I
It,
was
I've
actually
watched.
surprised by how much I really enjoyed that one.
Me too. I was the same way. I'm like, okay, let's go. And I saw it in the theaters and I'm like, I'm going to go again. It
Because I don't know
was
what it
that
is.
good.
I mean, I think because I think in a way, I guess it kind of reminded me a little bit of a more chaotic, maybe, well, obviously Christmassy version of Dead Poets Society, but maybe not as set as emotional as that movie got or so. Because
Yeah.
even though Holdover still has those emotional beats, it's still a movie that I happen to find, well, very funny.
No, it was really funny. It was really good. But yeah, that That brings us to the end of the podcast, man. That was a pretty easy hour, 10 minutes or so. That was really good, man. I want to thank you so much.
Of course, and hopefully, once I get some more episodes out, of course, you are more than welcome to come on to my show whenever we want to discuss whatever you'd
As long as you want to ruin your show, I'll come on it whenever you
like.
want.
Trust me, I record my own show. I've already ruined my own show.
No, you have not, man. But yeah. All right, well, thank you. And catch me. I'll probably be back. I'll definitely be back Christmas Eve. I might have one more episode before then. Until then, thanks again to Robert, and stay tuned for his next episode because he's promised it to us. So if he doesn't fulfill it, he's a liar.
Yeah, if I don't fulfill it, then send Krampus after me.
Exactly. Well, I want to say bye to everyone, and we'll see you soon, and catch you later.